Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
Joe, I am your GM here on Fifth Watch. You can follow me on Twitter at TheJoeHadfield, and you can check out my podcast, WTF Anime.
My name is Alan Sells, and I play Jace McGuire, God Ranger Blue Athena. You can find me at Alan_Sells on Twitter.
I'm Eli, I play Kronos, and you can find me on Twitter at TheVikingBear__. And be sure to check out my other shows, Hoof and Sword and SHU Podcast.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I play Mitch Carver, and you can find me on Twitter at WilkieWit.
Hello, my name is Raphael Johns. I'm playing Gwen Smith, Godsent in this, and you can find me as like Twitter at Eldritch Roth. Other than that, there's a Tumblr that I'm going to set up that you can follow. I haven't decided on the URL yet. I'm very beautiful. Thank you.
We open up. In Jason's old bedroom, there is the sounds of glass breaking and an angry mob, and the images are kind of hazy. One moment we'll see a ceiling and hear the noise going on outside, and then darkness, and it cuts into Jason's father holding him.
Jason, you have to hide. Just under the bed. Don't come out until I return. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Good. Okay. I'll be back soon.
Be careful.
And the dream ends as the door to Jason's hospital room opens up. And walking in, we see Rupert, kind of a nervous expression on his face as he looks at the prone form of Jason lying in the bed. Excuse me, are you awake?
And Jason's going to take a minute and just kind of try to get his bearings and look around. Yes, I am awake.
Good. This may seem like a strange question.
Okay.
What do you remember about the past 24 hours?
I have very little memory of the last 24 hours.
That's okay. Do you at least remember your name?
My name is Jason.
Okay, that's good. We're going to be keeping you here for a bit. Just to make sure that you're physically okay.
Where am I?
You're in a hospital.
And coming out of this dream sequence where that was entirely in German, and now he's speaking English. Where's the hospital?
Well, you're already cognizant of the language. You're in the United States. As you say, your memory was kind of spotty, and that's to be expected. But I don't know how you got here.
And there is a pained look on Jason's face, like he's trying to claw at his memory, and he's just running into a brick wall.
You don't have to reach too far. Just use this time, heal up. You're safe now. The people who did something to you can't reach you anymore.
What was done to me? Am I okay? I'm in a hospital.
You're fine. There was an incident, but by all accounts, you're doing Very well.
He's going to try to sit up and find himself way weaker than he should be by any rights. And this only incites a little bit more panic in him. What is happening? Why am I here? I remember a fight. Why was I fighting?
Because bad people made you do bad things. And that's not your fault. As I said, you're safe from them now. You get to hold up and rest, and we'll see about helping you recover some of your memories, but that can wait. You can wait until you're feeling better.
And he's starting to get way more awake with the adrenaline and the nerves and the feels all flooding at him, and he has zero answer for it. But at the same time, he's got no answers. So. Okay. Who are you?
My name is Rupert Sturm. Kind of a government official, I guess.
Why is a government official coming to see me in a hospital?
Because you're part of a very special case.
I am very confused.
That is very understandable. With time, hopefully I can fill you in a bit more.
And he's just going to hang his head. Like, this is too much bullshit to wake up to. I can't deal with this. It's too much.
Rupert kind of takes that as like his point to just maybe let you get back to sleep, maybe just kind of hang out. Gwen.
Yes.
You are standing in the halls of this very same hospital.
Imagine I was here, like a couple days ago, back when everyone else was in here, chasing them?
Yeah, it would have been, I think it was a few days ago.
I brought, peanut butter-filled pretzels. I have bought 4 bags of peanut butter-filled pretzels. Exactly. And I am sort of looking around for Rupert, I guess. Oh, I'm wearing a pink, a big pink poofy, very, almost comically too large for Gwen sweater.
You've been in the waiting room for a bit, and they've already... Nurse Randoman has already been informed.
There he is. Hi, Randoman. How you doing?
And Rupert enters into the wedding room and, Gwen, I wasn't expecting to see you so soon.
Do you mean like in the hospital or like in the world in general or like...
More in the hospital. What can I help you with?
Well, during the fight, I had taken down one of the baddies, and I just wanted to offer him peanut butter pretzels.
That?
Is he allergic to peanut butter?
He's not taking food very well at the moment, but if you would like to see him and offer him something, that might help. Not entirely sure.
Is it like he's not taking food very well because he has a peanut butter-related allergy? Because I could put these away.
Let's just say yes for now. I think putting them away might do more good. But with his condition and kind of the circumstances surrounding him, I think it would be a good idea for him to see someone other than nurses. Someone his own age.
So he is roughly our age. That wasn't an illusion or anything. I was kind of hoping he'd be older. Might make it easier. It must be harder to be a villain or something when you're...
He isn't a villain. As I mentioned before, he was controlled in a manner that we have seen before.
Well, take me to him, and I'll see what I can find out for us about him and stuff. That is the reason why I'm here.
Okay. He
leads you down several hallways, and we enter back into the hospital room. Rupert, like, opens the door for you, but he's not going in.
Gwen does a knock on the door anyway, just to make sure, and is like, hello?
And Jason will sit up. Come in.
Gwen will, like, do the tentative step forward, and, like, sort of inch in. It's very awkward to witness. Sort of move to the end of the bed and sort of stand there. Hi.
And at that point, Jason's going to look at you and he takes a deep inhale and you see confusion and then recognition in his eyes. I think I know you. You smell familiar. I recognize your scent.
I think Gwen looks at Rupert a little bit, like, for, like, confirmation that, yes, this man's being able to smell me from over here is normal, and I don't smell really bad, and also he doesn't have a peanut allergy, and he's not inhaling dangerous fucking...
Rupert is not sure how to take that very complex look.
Yeah, I think
what's up? That is a mood. That is a mood and a look all its own.
It's a big mood,
He just kind of nods and I'll just be outside. Doesn't quite close the door, leaves it ajar.
Jason kind of gives a look over at Rupert because this is the only person he's really had any interaction with since waking up, other than medically. So there's like a, oh my god, you're leaving me kind of vibe to his stare.
Yeah, you do know me. I am the person who ripped off your mask. Yeah.
My mask? What mask are you talking about?
I think Gwen sort of looks around the room, looking for something to look at that's not sort of Jason. You were wearing this mask, that was like, it looked kind of like a gas mask as I remember it, and it was drilled into your face.
A look of horror comes over Jason's face as you're telling him this.
Yeah, that's the reaction I kind of had when I pulled it out of your face.
And I'm now like feeling around my face in my head, like, Jesus Christ, this is probably not the way that I should have been broached this subject.
And you didn't know that it had been ripped out of your face. Yeah, ha ha ha, my bad.
I am very confused and also very scared right now. Who are you?
I'm Gwendolyn.
I am Jason. Why are you ripping things from my head? Why do I have things in my head?
I think Gwendolyn sits down in one of the chairs nearby, which I'm assuming there's like a chair near your bed, and puts all the peanut butter pretzels down onto the dresser that I'm also assuming is there, and then nervously opens up a bag and starts like eating some of them. He says after swallowing, those are a lot of questions that I don't have any answers to. But it was connected to your face, and when I ripped it out, you did stop being evil all of a sudden. Because seconds before that, you had been trying to kill our mayor. And my group sort of fancies themselves superheroes. And I think we're just kind of good people. Well, other than Kronos. Who, like, try to do good, including Kronos. Kronos counts for part of the second, for the second part.
I think that a trickle of memories come back, just a little bit. Mm. He can remember the panic, and he can remember a little bit of the... It seems like a dream. I thought this was nightmares that I had experienced. And I remember breaking glass. And my father hiding me. But I think I have hurt people. Why?
So you don't have any real memories of the event?
I remember the smell of smoke, and I remember panic, and then blackness. Where's my family?
They didn't give me any answers about you or your family or anything about you. But I didn't see anybody with you other than the other people attacking. And there was only one other person who I think we even captured, who I don't know if he's awake or not. I kind of sent him through a couple of buildings. So I guess you're not the only person who's hurt people recently.
So you are several buildings. Are you here?
How did being bad feel? I'm not trying to not answer your question by asking a question. It'll inform my answer, I think.
I don't know that I have the answer to that question. I remember.
I think Gwendolyn's just sort of intensely staring at Jason as he's talking about this, sort of like not trying to be pressuring, but like, I need to know this information.
I'm trying to remember the scene that you're describing where I, what did I do? Maybe you can help me remember, and then maybe I can tell you how this feels.
Okay. Well, I only got to the last part of it, but there was this, funeral for this hero. He was, I don't know, he was brash, kind of vain. Anyway, there was this big funeral for him, and the mayor was going to be there. All this other stuff was happening. Then our friend left because he decided that he needed to go, like, personally take all of you guys on because you guys kind of came down and injured people. You and this girl and this big guy. And she was there. Gwen's describing the scene where you guys come down, essentially, I believe, attack the mayor. But, like, describing it in sort of these loose terms. It seems clear that Gwen does not like remembering this whole scenario and isn't quite comfortable talking about it, probably.
With that, I think that's going to jar a little more memory. And Jason's going to have a look of horror on his face. And he's going to look at Gwen. I think that I remember. But the thing of it is, I am not happy with how I think I remember it feeling. The feeling was freedom. It was not having to worry or doubt. There was only action. I was not concerned with any of the other people. There was only what I needed to do. And doing it. I don't know that I like that.
But it felt nice while it was happening.
It did not feel good. It did not feel bad. It was just doing.
Kinda hoped coming here would help me get some answers. But it looks like I just have more questions. I can see the bandages that you got on. Are you okay, by the way? I kind of messed you up. I feel not great about that.
I don't know.
Does it hurt?
Yes. And I'm very confused. And I'm scared and I don't know what's going on. I'm hungry. This is miserable. And I'm not sure who I am. I don't remember so much.
I am wildly out of my depth here, and I don't know you. And I'm kind of part of the reason why you're here in this miserable place. But what I can tell you is something that my dad always used to tell me, which was every scenario is just what you make of it. Which sounds stupid, I know, but it's not. You're not going to be trapped here for long. They just want to make sure you're okay. Hospital food is really shitty. But I bought you peanut butter pretzels. Gwen has at this point eaten one whole bag of the peanut butter pretzels. 3 bags of them. And you not knowing who you are is fine. Because we're 16. And we're probably not really supposed to know who we are yet anyway. So you're at the same level as the rest of us. Kind of. Sort of. Except most of us don't have criminal pasts and aren't former mind control victims. But still, basically same level as the rest of us. And you have me as your friend, if you want me to be your friend. And I can see what I can do to help, I guess.
And at that point, Jason's going to try to get up.
I think if Gwen sees him trying, Gwen will, like, move to try to help, but be very cautious about, like, do you want me to help you? Like, does it very slowly for Gwen, which is normal speed for most people.
Okay, and as Gwen is coming over to assist me, that actually it puts the goal closer too. So Jason's going to put his arms around Gwen in a hug and then give him a kiss on both cheeks and just kind of like give him an embrace. I wish to thank you.
I think Gwen tenses up at the hug.
You are the first real human contact. You and Rupert are the first real human contacts that I have had since I've been in this hospital. Everybody else in, out, blood work, and Gordon. So thank you.
Yeah,
And he's going to sit down again, or like lay back down again, and look at Gwen and say, also, you smell delicious.
If Gwen's cheeks were already burning, like, Gwen's cheeks are now, like, very, very flushed. right. Yeah.
Got you with that good callback.
Okay. That's normal. Yeah, I use Method Man body wash, not like Axe. Mitch does. And Gwen, I think, sort of, like, puts both of his hands on his cheeks and sort of, like, rubs them to try to get some of the, like, heat out of them. Look, I guess you're probably going back, to Germany. Maybe they'll, put you under police protection over here. But if you're, like, in need of more peanut butter pretzels, or something, let me know. With the cell phone, you probably don't have. I'll ask Rupert to leave, to put my phone number in your phone, because he probably has it, and then I should probably go. it's been a really long day, and I smell really strong, apparently.
No stronger than anybody else. I can smell Rupert outside the door.
You have, like, super senses?
I don't know.
What do I smell like? That's a weird question. Sorry.
I do not know how to answer that. You have shown me a kindness. I appreciate you concerned for me. I'm very confused, and you have been kind to me.
Well, I don't think that I've been kinder to you than literally anyone else would be. I think you'll discover there are a lot of really kind people in this town. Some people are even kinder and way cooler than me, other than their ascot thing. But there's a lot of people out there who are very cool.
I do not understand the comment about ascots.
It's fine. He's a different case, but he's much kinder and cooler under pressure than me. I just wanted to apologize for ripping out the mask, which was unpleasant.
I don't remember it. Only the pain that I have now. It's fine.
Yeah, that's like the opposite of fine, actually. It's like the polar opposite of fine. Because I still, if neither of us remember the incident, it'd be... Anyway, you're not here to argue semantics. You should rest, actually.
Jason's going to look at Gwen and lock eyes and just give a nod, as in an understanding, and, you know, like, we're cool.
That was the cool guy nod. Yeah, the one you give when you see someone else who's cool on the street. I got you. And Gwen gives a little, like, his own adorable little bow.
I was hoping for a curtsy, but a bow will do.
Gwen is a jock, and jocks don't curtsy.
Gwen curtsies. Don't give me that shit.
Do not insult my speedy child. Well, if you're still around, and you need, like, you have a couple of days free, and you're like, yo, I want to do something while I'm still here in the city, just let me know. There's some really cool places for milkshakes and pizza and also fries. And there's this arcade bar that serves, like, really good beer, which we're not legally allowed to drink, and we don't. So, yeah.
And at that, Jason's going to smile and say, see, you've been the most kind person to me. Thank you. I appreciate that, Gwen.
Yeah. That's me, kind old Gwen. Well, I'm gonna leave. Enjoy the pretzels, and good luck wherever you end up going.
Hi everyone, I hope you're enjoying this latest episode of Fifth Watch. Welcome to the mid-episode break, you know, where I tell you where you can find us on the internet as well as some other stuff. So, if you would like to find the Lost Library on the internet, we are on Twitter at Lost Library Cast. You can email us via lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com. And as ever, our music is Saved World by Cambo. As with last week, our high-tide recommendation is Kingdom Smarts, podcast where Jake and Shannon talk about Kingdom Hearts. Shannon explains Kingdom Hearts to Jake 30 minutes at a time, and to borrow an expression, it's buck fucking wild. You can find them on Twitter at Kingdom Smarties, or wherever any podcast is available. I'm sure you have your favorite. Really trying to get a shorter mid-episode thing going, because this week has been rough, and I'm pretty sure this episode's going to be going out late, and that's pretty much all on me. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Yeah, thanks for listening.
We pick up outside of Jace's house, or is this an apartment?
A townhouse. So he lives with his mom. It's a split level thing. There's upstairs is where the bedrooms are. Downstairs is the kitchen and the living room and all that fun stuff. Jace's mom is out front with him. And this is the first time we've seen Jace's mom. She is a lady probably in her 50s. She has hair that's pulled tight back. It's brown, but it has like streaks of like silver, not even gray, but just silver in it. And it's real tight in a bun. Her dress is simple but very flattering. It moves really well, and she is just fussing over Jace, making sure that his lapels are straight, making sure that he has the boutonniere for Gwen, making sure that his ascot looks well, because somehow the ascot now looks like a tie.
Oh, interesting.
So she taught, like, they folded it in a very specific way, so it just looks like a long tie, not a bow tie, but a long tie. And Jace is wearing a kind of cobalt, deep, deep blue suit that matches his tie, and his shirt, or his vest is silver. His shirt is white. But yeah, his mom's just kind of fussing. And when the camera zooms in, Jace is just like, oh, by Athena's name, Mom, really?
You only get one of these. To do it properly, anyway.
That's true. Mom, things have been weird. We got approached by, like, this psychic guy who knew about, like, stuff. And he told us not to help people. But that just felt wrong, you know?
As she's fussing with your lapel, she kind of shifts her hands to your shoulders and, like, turns you to, like, face her. Things are always going to be weird, but you and I both know exactly why we were given this power. We help people. We don't help people blindly. We know what we're doing. And whatever this kid said to you, you know in your heart what's right.
Thanks, Mom. And Jace gives her a really big hug.
Is there a gate before this house? Or, like, is it just, like, you said it's old townhouse.
If it's for effect, sure.
Okay, hell yeah. Then Gwen, like, there's the zip of this sort of silver-ish blur. And then Gwen is sort of leaning against the fence itself. Gwen's wearing essentially a silver outfit, a silver sort of tuxedo suit that's pretty well fitted. Silver actual jacket, silver pants, not wearing the vest, but the tie itself is the sort of cobalt blue that that Jace's outfit is. He also came with cobalt blue Converse because fuck authority.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking good. He's also looking like maybe he took a little bit too long trying to make sure he didn't get this wrinkled like he typically does. His stuff actually looks well taken care of in this instance. I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Not at all. And Jace turns a little bit pink, and before his mom, like, his mom is starting to turn to go inside, but takes her hand and walks her to Gwen. Gwen, I want you to meet my mom. This is Phoebe McGuire.
And Gwen extends his hand, and it's like, it's a pleasure to meet you, Miss McGuire, ma'am.
She shakes her hand firmly, and it's a pleasure. Jace has told me a lot about you.
I hope all of it was good, because I'm a good person, as you know.
Mom, I was thinking if it was okay for you with you, and if it was okay with Gwen, of course, maybe he could come over for dinner sometime. My mom makes the best stuffed grape leaves in the world. They're so delicious.
You keep saying that, but...
It's true.
No, I learned the recipe from someone else.
So? They don't make it like you do.
I mean, I think home-cooked meals are always the best. It's really nice coming home and having someone, you know, have made something for you. I'd be really down.
Great.
Well, the invitation is always open.
Thanks.
Jace looks at his mom. Thank you, Mitera. And Jace gives her a big hug and kisses her on the cheek. I'll text you when we're on our way home.
I don't want you to worry about keeping me up. I trust you.
That means the world.
She hugs you back and...
I think when they're doing that, Gwen gets this very, like, expression sort of familiar longing. But then, like, immediately does the brighten back up the instant anybody pays any attention to him. Sort of like, of course I'm fine. I'm happy. Everyone's happy.
Phoebe takes you out of the hug and steps behind you to, like, push you towards Gwen and heads inside.
Gwen. And he, like, reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a box and he opens it up, and inside is a boutonniere. It is an olive branch with flowers around it, but in front of it is a single rose blossom or rose bloom that matches your accent color. So it matches kind of that bluish hue. And he kind of like fumbles his fingers to put it on because he's nervous, but he gets it like pinned on you.
Aww. Gwen blushes quite a lot, I imagine, as you're sort of putting it on. It's like, thanks. background from you only put those onto the girl, you know.
Oh, well, I thought that was a corsage. Would you have rather had a corsage? I mean, it's a little late, but I could probably try to find a corsage for you if you really, wanted.
Like, you don't have to worry about that at all. I just, like back, you know, back, where I'm from, it's not customary. It's really sweet that you did it. Thanks. I think Gwen sort of, like, just sticks their hair into, or their hand into your hair and, like, ruffles your hair a little bit. I think you look a little bit better, like, not so, put together. Loosen up. It's prom. It's supposed to be fun and all that.
We're gonna have a blast.
I'm sure nothing bad's gonna happen.
At all. And Jace opens the door to the limo and kind of does the after you.
Gwen does a little bow, and gets in.
And from somewhere across town, Kronos hears that and just kind of turns around.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I have a feeling that I'm going to do something stupid about this.
Hey, I have never done anything stupid as Kronos except that one time.
I know this, and I love you.
So, the panel transitions from the closing of the limo door to another limo door that is driving somewhat erratically through the streets of Halcyon City. We see in the back Mitch in his most formal wear.
Mm-hmm. This is a slight step up from his usual black on black on black. I think his bow tie and his waistcoat are this dark, sort of like a teal emerald, very dark, very subtle, very classy color, with maybe like little bits of metallic silver thread running through them where like, when the light hits him, it's not garish, like when the light hits it in just the right way, it kind of shimmers. And he has this origami boutonniere pinned onto his jacket.
We hear called from the partition. Is it just left up Old Town?
Yeah, yeah, it's the one with the clock on it. You don't miss it.
All right, and the limo skids and drifts in a way limos were not made to do to arrive at the clock tower at the quickest possible time.
And as Mitch steps out of the limo, you see the seal of the mayor on the doors. It's got a couple of those little flags on the front of the car. And Mitch walks up to the door, and he takes a deep breath. He just did this last night, but he's still nervous, and he knocks on the door.
When you knock, there is a book psychic construct that opens the door. Two, actually. One is dressed like a stereotypical 1960s dad, and the other like a stereotypical 1960s mom.
Oh my god!
Wow.
The first book construct, like, pulls a pipe out of its mouth.
That is beautiful.
Kronos comes up behind them and kind of peeks around them and waves. Excuse me. The book constructs kind of part, and they give each of the constructs a hug and go outside. Kronos is wearing a tuxedo, like a full tuxedo with like cummerbund and everything, but they also have the cape and hood and mask on. And so they kind of like step out, take a look at Mitch, take a look at themselves and say, do I look like a magician? It's the cummerbund, isn't it?
Bring them back. They're the fashion this year. Now they are.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like the cape and the cummerbund is too much. Hang on, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Kronos goes back inside, comes back out this time in their, like, usual costume with a tuxedo t-shirt. No, this is too little. And then goes back inside and comes out in just a suit with the cape and the mask. Okay. Okay, I think I'm good to go.
Awesome.
You look amazing, Mitch.
Thanks. This is the best suit I could find. I really hope I don't have to go to anything fancier than this until next season, because I've kind of topped myself out with this one. But, I mean, if anybody can find a way out, it's me, right? Who can find a fancier suit? Mitch can.
If there's anybody who could do so, it would be you.
That corsage looks good on your wrist.
Thank you. Everything looks great. Do you want to take the ship, or?
Yeah, we can take the ship. Me and my dad got a limo.
I didn't know that. Yeah, let's go with the limo. That's fine.
I mean, are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, we can...
No, it's fine.
Well, yeah, maybe we can take the ship on the way home, because, well, I don't know if Dad's going to be able to keep this limo all night. I mean, he can try, but we'll see. And I lead Kronos over to the limo. I open the door for them, and then when I get inside, I move the little partition window aside, and I say, very proudly, Kronos, this is my dad. This is the legendary Butch Carver.
So looking back at you, cramped in the passenger seat is probably about a 7-foot-tall, muscle-bound man in a white shirt, black waistcoat, stylized 5 o'clock shadow and just like a shaved head. And he kind of looks back into the limo. Mitch, I didn't want to embarrass you like this, but Kronos, was it you?
Yes, sir, Mr. Carver.
Can you step outside with me for a second?
Sure.
Yes!
And you see, like, kind of through the partition, a silenced pistol move past the window and into the back of his trousers as he steps out of the limo. And you can see in the rearview mirror, you can see the terrified look of what can only be described as the mayor of Halcyon City.
As Kronos gets out of the back, they'll kind of wave, "Hi, Mr. Mayor," and then get out.
Butch Carver makes his way around the limo and kind of like leads you back up to the clock tower.
Mm-hmm.
Looks you up and down. Yeah, I think you'll do.
Kronos does the exact same thing and says the exact same thing.
Oh my god!
I like that. Now, and he cracks his knuckles.
Kronos also cracks their knuckles.
You stop him in this, like, very planned ritual that he had ready for this exact moment. And he kind of gives you a nod. Sure, I don't need to say it, but if you do anything to upset him, I'm going to rip your fucking head off, I'll rip your balls off, and I'm going to exchange the two.
And Mitch is going to shout from the limo, "Dad, don't talk about Kronos' genitals. We don't even know. That's their private business."
You're right. I'm very sorry. And he does like a bow of apology. Suffice to say, I hope the message got through.
It did, sir. I have no intention of any ill whatever to your son, but your reputation precedes you.
Smart kid.
And Kronos extends a hand to shake.
Firmly shakes it back. Think I like you.
And then Kronos is going to, like, do a head nod towards the vehicle. If you want, the mayor doesn't have to know this happened. Just putting it out there.
I mean, he's on the take anyway. But you could do anything to smooth that along. Put you in a lot better standing.
Cool.
All right. Have a very good evening.
You as well, sir.
And he starts walking back to the passenger seat of the limo, pulling the silenced pistol back out and stepping into the passenger seat.
And when Kronos gets back into the back of the limo, Mitch just sort of gently places a hand on their knee and says, "I have been waiting to hear him give that speech to somebody since I was 13 years old. You took it like a champ."
Kronos leans in a little bit and says, "He's been practicing that, hasn't he?"
"Every year on my birthday. Not to me, but I hear him doing it quietly in his own room to himself."
Mm-hmm.
You hear from the partition, 7 years.
I'm not 20.
7 whole years, my God.
Doesn't mean I haven't been planning it for 7 years.
Pre-puberty, here we go.
Dad's been like, "Eventually someone's going to come steal my little Mitch away, and I've got to be prepared."
And they will fear me.
All right then, Mr. Mayor. I think you know where Silver Oak High School is. I don't need to give you directions. Is there anything you want put on the radio? Looking back at you two.
My song's a surprise. Kronos, do you want to pick something?
I don't really listen to music anymore, so I don't have a preference.
We'll give this one to the mayor. The mayor can have something. Mayor, what do you like?
Well, right, he hasn't got a fucking clue. In the honor of pure irony, this. And he puts on Time by Pink Floyd.
Hey, yes.
Nice.
I was so prepared for ABBA, but let me this on the prepared for you can dance, you can fly, having the time of your life.
That's what Jace and Gwen are listening to on their ride.
Oh, they've been karaokeing the whole ride over. Just like epic karaoke.
I like the idea of Butch putting on the dadliest song possible, like it's just Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin.
And you guys peel away. Both your limos are going to arrive at a similar time. One of you is like a plain, very clearly rented limo. The other is the actual mayor's limo.
As Kronos gets out of the limo, they are going to attempt to modify the mayor's memory.
Okay, for the first roll of episode 4, give me an Unleash Your Powers.
Is that plus freak?
Yep.
So I'm going to mark potential.
Oh, no!
I got a 6.
I have plans for this.
Evil.
Well, damn.
Something bad always happens.
When it clearly doesn't work, Kronos is going to look at Mitch's dad and say, I'm sorry, I'm just really nervous. This usually doesn't happen.
Oh my god.
He looks across at you from the head of the mayor that he's holding a pistol to. It's all right. The window climbs up. The window does drop down at the other side, like where Mitch is. And Butch leans out. Go on.
The next time I bring them by, you'd better not make fun of them like that, Dad. This is serious.
You will learn one day. Builds character. And he, like, pulls you in for a hug. Have a good time.
I kiss his big bald head. Good night, Dad. Don't keep the mayor out too late.
I was thinking we'd do a circuit, put him around for a bit. Not too long. He's had a rough day. And he gives you a wink at that.
Okay, you guys have fun.
And they peel out.
So as they peel out, Kronos is waving and then walks up next to Mitch. Should we be worried?
Oh, no. He's not going to kill the mayor. Nobody's paid him to do it. He's not going to do that for free.
I mean, I know he's your dad, but should we alert the authorities that the mayor is not where they're supposed to be? Don't, like, tell them who did it or anything. Just to be safe, maybe.
If we tell the authorities tell Super Sentai God Ranger, they tell Jace, Jace is busy. We're not doing it. Don't worry about them.
Good call. And then Kronos turns around, extends an arm for you to take.
Maybe Mitch reacts just the way I did and just tries to hide a full-on swoon takes your arm and the two of you walk into prom.
I'm screaming.
And shortly after that, Gwen and Jace's limo pulls up.
Gwen, I think, exits first. Gwen has been, like, full-on, like, dancing and grooving to all of their karaoke, so it's, like, slightly sweaty.
What song spills out? Because I have an idea. But what song spills out when you open the door?
Honestly, I feel like it should be Journey, just because they're those two. But, like, if you have a different idea, go for it, dude.
I was going to say Cut to the Feeling by Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Nice.
Gwen's gonna open that door, burst out, I'm gonna cut to the feeling. and sort of like bow very low as they open the door for Jace to get out.
And Jace kind of very bad dance walk out of the car. Like he's trying to be cool, but he's not great at it. but he gets out of the car, shuts the door, looks at you, kind of takes a deep breath in, and he smiles, and he reaches for your hand to hold as you walk into the prom together.
Yeah. Gwen will definitely take Jace's hand, the blush again, and wave behind to the limo driver. and be like, thanks, I hope we didn't bother you too much with our singing.
The window wheels down very fast.
Okay, well, anyway, and looks around. Are you ready to go in?
I'm ready to dance with you.
I think, you know, Gwen's face sort of does the 404 error, like, file not found. Like, shit.
Gay is not found.
Gay, too much gay found. Something must be done. Overload. But then, sort of does a little nod. Right, yeah, let's go in.
Let's go. And Jace is basically bouncing, and he kind of takes your hand and sort of leads you, but stays in step with you, and we go up this, what I'm presuming are stairs, that lead into the gym. Or not the gym, but the school going to the prom.
I mean, imagine since it's we've got uniforms, we got a cool-ass looking prom.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. I also have one quick question before we continue. Sorry. How popular are each of us?
Prom, oh, this is good. Okay.
This is high school, and prom's very much about popularity, so I'm wondering who's getting swarmed by people who are like, oh my god, you look so good.
Well, I also have another question, because we established this as a masquerade, so we all have to describe our masks.
Oh, yes.
But Jace, I think, is pretty popular.
Kronos is not popular.
Yes, because you've never been to this school.
Yeah.
I'm changing that. Kronos is definitely the most popular.
Yes. I was gonna say, Kronos is drawing a lot of attention, and people are like, ooh, who's that?
Who the
ooh.
Fuck is this? And they have scars? People in high school will be like, fuck Jace.
Hey,
who's this?
Hey, they don't see my scars because I'm wearing my full mask.
True.
People don't like Mitch, but they probably want to see what he is wearing. Mm. So, like, everybody walks past him, looks him up and down, and nods. But I don't
now,
actually say
I
anything.
I have to ask, is this a everyone wants to know what Mitch is wearing, or Mitch thinks everyone wants to know what he's wearing?
Yes.
Yeah, probably that. I think Mitch thinks him and Kronos are the center of the world.
He's so cute.
Inside and outside of prom.
I love
it. Beautiful.
I'm gonna cry.
No, I already did that.
So mask.
Yeah.
So Jace is wearing a Venetian style mask. It's kind of that ceramic or kind of a like a, almost a hard plastic, but it has that crackle. So the undercolor is silver, and the overcolor is that cobalt blue that matches pretty much the rest of his outfit. So the silver kind of shines through cracks in the blue paint, and it's asymmetrical, and it like sweeps up on the right, and it has silver feathers that come out of it and go over his hair and kind of lay down.
Don't all jump in at once.
It's hard. I wasn't prepared to think about that.
I think Mitch's mask is just pointy and angular, like it's just two V's on the other on either side of his head. There's got to be some anime character with a mask like this, because I can picture it exactly.
It sounds
in my head,
like Kamina's glasses, but as a mask.
Yep.
Yes, yes, that sounds correct. It's like that, and it's I think like a bright teal color.
Kronos's mask is the same mask they wear every day.
Smart, utilitarian.
Yes.
Talking about popularity, people are looking at Mitch going, holy shit, Mitch is dating a superhero.
Yeah, I mean.
Because if it's the same mask, then they've seen Kronos on the news.
Holy shit, Mitch is dating that guy who blew up half of downtown.
That sounds like Mitch, though.
Yep. Yep, that sounds exactly like what Mitch
That's our
know.
Mitch.
It's such a good thing that no one knows we're superheroes, right?
Right?
Actually, okay, so actually, I think that...
Thank God, Kronos switched.
I think that Kronos's mask looks like a snowy owl.
Huh?
It's just a solid snowy owl mask.
That's cool.
Beautiful.
That's beautiful. I'm gonna cry again. I think Gwen is going to be wearing, like, a half mask. So, sort of, like, most of their face is completely covered, but half of their face. So it's, like half their face is covered, and then only their eye is really covered on one side. They don't like masquerade balls, really. You just get the general sensation they don't really like masks all that much. But they keep waving at people that they know from cheerleading and other stuff like that.
So that's cool.
Oh, hi, guys!
I need all of you to roll me a superior.
A superior check.
Do we have to?
Look, if you fail, you just get experience.
Oh, true. Hell yeah! 11 plus 2 is 13.
I have an 11 total.
I got a 7.
I got another 11 total.
Holy shit.
We are some superior ass people.
Except for Kronos.
I mean, you passed.
I did.
We have surplus.
So all of you, as you're kind of basking in this delightful experience of being gay and in love, you all spot Aiden from earlier. He is in black trousers, black boots, the black kind of ruffle shirt, and a black brocade frock coat. And he is standing with someone in a green dress with a hawk mask. The mask that Aiden is wearing is kind of like a stylized plague doctor mask, all in black.
Of course it is.
Yep.
Everybody's got such a fancy mask, and Mitch is just like, what is the pointiest, most villainous looking thing I can get? I want that one.
When they see him, I mean, I think Gwen is just going to wave, sort of like, almost as if they're unaware of anything. Just be like, oh, hi, it's that new kid. Hi, Aiden.
Can I psychically tie his shoes together?
You can certainly try.
Okay.
Roll me a bus freak.
Bus freak.
Hell yeah, 11.
Okay.
Woo!
You have tied his shoes together.
You monster.
They're in a double knot. That's how good I do.
Jace just kind of looks at him. He doesn't say anything, but Gwen feels his body kind of tighten up and his like, not that he becomes more closed off, but he becomes suddenly much more wary.
A little bit more tense.
Yeah.
It was Melissa Allen Raff that got an 11, right?
Yes. I got a 13.
Well, you got a lot. Fucking whatever.
I rolled well.
Fucking whatever.
Just saying.
The girl next to him, you all recognize as Minerva, who was at Brazen's funeral.
Well, that's interesting.
Is that who I think it is?
She certainly looks like it.
Who?
I mean, I never called her name, but...
Oh, no. Sorry, I was pretending to be an owl because of the mask. Sorry. What are we talking about?
Jace just reaches out and, like, puts his hand on Kronos' upper arm and just squeezes, like, affectionately. The two over there, the psychic and the other one, I don't know her name, but she was there.
Do you want me to go ask?
God, no.
Aren't we supposed to be having fun? I thought tonight was all about not working.
Yeah, this is our night off. There's punch. We have to hit the photo booth. Guys, we need a nice picture of ourselves where Gwen is wearing pants.
And we also need a picture where we're all wearing giant sunglasses and holding up signs that say things like LOL and BFF.
Yeah. Oh, wait, looks like Jessica McManera is calling me. I'll be right back. And Gwen's like, ladies, they said pictures. Gwen was, like, moving away.
Can I put up, like, a low or, like, a telekinetic barrier in the direction Gwen's about to go so, like, he bounces off and comes back to us?
Both of you, because you're not speeding away, Gwen, I think.
Because using my powers in public is a good way to be revealed as a superhero, which is something Gwen, for some reason, does not want. Meanwhile, the rest of you are like, what power can I use in front of the police?
In Kronos' defense, they don't have a secret identity.
I guess the rest of us do, but you're fine with it.
I think it's just a freak roll on Kronos.
Kronos also doesn't like really think about that until it's too late.
I figured. It's very infitting for Kronos' character.
That is a 9.
You're able to like buffet Gwen back and kind of stumbles into Jace's arms.
Oh. Hi.
Hey. To the photo booth. And Kronos starts leading the way to the photo booth.
The Chrono booth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're going to call it now.
To the Chrono booth. It's a time travel device, secretly.
And there's just one beautiful family photo of the four of us in front of all of this hanging silver tinsel and a big sign that says Silverhawk High Prom 2018, or maybe
20XX.
Time is a secret. 20, yeah. 20, and then somebody's standing in front of it.
No, in front of, like, the year day, it has to be Kronos standing in front of it.
Yeah,
of course.
Yes!
And as soon as we take the picture, Jace immediately makes it the picture for our very much not Fifth Watch group chat, which in Jace's phone, it's literally just five-star emojis.
And I think the second the photo was taken and it was on a digital camera, that meant Mitch's technopathy powers could get it out of there immediately.
Yep.
So the second after it's taken, we all have it. And I think there's one of all of us just sort of with our hands on our hips in like a classical superhero pose, just all in a line. And maybe we have a goofy one with like the big sunglasses and the mustaches.
Mm-hmm. And then we have one of all of us holding Kronos as Kronos is like lying across us and we're all holding them.
Yes!
And they're like propped up on an elbow.
Yes!
I think that one took a lot of convincing because Kronos, like, at first that made Kronos a little uncomfortable. But then once they were sure that, like, you all weren't going to drop them, they were like,
no.
Fine.
I just want you guys to know that, like, Gwen would only stay for the one picture. And, like, once you guys start to try to do more, Gwen is like, oh my god, Heather's calling me. And it's, like, literally gone. Just, like, not, yeah.
Do you guys have a couples photo, though? Because we do.
We do kind of have to have the classic cheesy prom photo.
I think it might take a little bit to convince Gwen that a couple's photo is a thing. Gwen might, okay, like, I don't really like pictures all that much.
So, it's kind of for my mom. She asked for, like, a photo of the two of us together. You know, I'd kind of like it. I could use it as my phone background, like it would be. I mean, if that's too much, I completely understand, of course. Like, I don't want to presume or push or anything like that.
It's one couple's photo and no retakes. Whatever they get that first time, that's it.
That's it.
Hey, Gwen, if you think it would help, I can, like, make it so you think it was your idea. If you think that would make things easier for you.
You know, Kronos, you're a great individual. I don't think maybe you understand the concept of me never wanting you in my head ever at all, if that makes sense. Not like in a I don't like you way, but like in a like being inside my head would be creepy way. We're not like that close. You and Mitch, however, can do the horizontal tango in your brains anytime you guys like.
Oh, okay. Now, that's uncalled for. I was simply trying to make you feel more comfortable. As a friend, admittedly, I don't know social customs and norms, but, you know, offers on the table. Jerk. And then Kronos walks away.
As they're walking away, I'm just like, I appreciate the offer of mentally manipulating me so much.
At least I asked.
I don't like pictures. And
I know.
Get Kronos to stop trying to mentally manipulate people as a quote-unquote favor.
We're working on it.
Well, we need to work faster.
So we get posed for the picture, and the person says 3, 2, 1, and on one, Jace kisses Gwen on the cheek, and that's when the camera flashes, and he just pulls Gwen into a hug and says, no second takes.
God damn! And again, I think Gwen, whose expression, like, before that had been sulky, pouty, grumpy, is, like, again, after the photo's taken, like, the flash happens, and you just see their face after that is, again, the 404 error, like, file not found face. Just, like, so, unable to speak. Just speechless.
Let's go get some punch.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of lead Gwen over to the punch bowl and get in line to get some punch.
I think Mitch and Kronos' picture is Kronos standing behind Mitch with their hands kind of hugging him, like wrapped around his torso. And Mitch has taken Kronos' hand with the corsage on it, and he is holding it up in front of the camera, both, like, as an affectionate touching and also, like, look at this thing I made.
Oh, my yes.
God. So I need all artists listening just to give me these two photos. I don't ask for much. But for the love of God, please, I need this in my life.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.